We'll call the meeting to order. If we could, we've got the flag here, you guys, and we'll start with a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Wait, could you back off here?
Right.
Okay. So this time in the room with us as well, we do have a representative with CPL, Sarah McQuaid. And we will move to the first item on the agenda with it. That's the public hearing for the special use permit for 898 Harrison Mill Road. Yeah, you're welcome to come over here, Sarah.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah, I can just do a quick presentation. So as the mayor stated, this is the public hearing for special use permit 2025-001 related to 898 Harrison Mill Road. The request specifically is to permit a metal storage building on the property for personal use, a storage of personal equipment and materials on the site, which is greater than 500 square feet. The specific ordinance requires for accessory structures that are going to be a metal building over 500 square feet, they would need to get special use approval from town council. The building itself is going to be in the rear of the property. It is located with other accessory structures. The minimum setback requirements are subject to the normal setbacks for that zoning district. It's an agricultural piece of property. And as such, the building would need to be a minimum of 40 feet from the property line. The applicant has indicated in the submitted application materials that they would be compliant with that request. Because all of the conditions of the special use permit were met, staff did recommend to town council approval of this request, and it would just need to be consistent with the submitted application materials.
Right, and so that full process, it would be, it's permitted, inspected, everything would be ensured that it's in compliance with.
If town council chooses to approve the request tonight, a building permit would then be applied for, and it would be inspected to be compliant with the ordinance.
Okay. With that, we'll use the hand raise feature for the public speaking comment portion of this. So at this time, we'll open the public speaking for any of our guests that are wanting to speak. Making sure I check kind of both pages through here. I'll confirm.
Are you asking for people speaking for or against?
Both. Is that Scott Morgan is speaking?
Yes, this is Scott Morgan speaking.
Okay. Yep, you're a little bit quiet, Scott, with your audio.
Turn it up.
I think we can hear you. We do have the recording.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, per the ordinance, I'm going to be taking my allotted 10 minutes to speak. That comes under section 89-1316D2C2, 10 minutes for all speaking against or for. First comment I would like to make is I'm going to take issue what Sarah said about this proposed building being near the existing structures. It is approximately 300 feet from the existing, from any existing structure. I would also like to point out per section 89218C3, which is what this is coming under, those restrictions are for residential zoning districts. This property is zoned agricultural. So it would not apply to 289-218C3. I would also like to point out under section 89-218B2 that they shall meet the setbacks lot building standards of Article 4 of the UDC, which are found at section 89-405. And that calls for maximum building and structure heights, height limitations for fences and walls in agricultural and agricultural residential zoning, and the fence or wall in those side or rear yards should be 8 feet in height. I'd like to draw your attention in the application to the picture with the hand-drawn building. Now, why this building, as you can see, has to be 300 feet or more from existing structures, and it also coincidentally happens to be directly in front of my house. These people have 50 acres, and they already have these structures up in this area, and now they're proposing to bring one and directly over in front of my house. And CPL put no conditions on it as far as any buffer structures, any type of buffering at all between this proposed building and my property. There is some natural vegetation there, but there is nothing else as far as buffering. Now, why they have to put it in this area is it should not be allowed. You have right now on this property two structures. One was a metal structure, a Butler building. The other is a shipping container, both of which were permitted illegally by Barrow County because it did not comply with the 100-foot setback in agricultural from agricultural residential zoning. I have brought this to the attention of this council and said that they need to revoke the permits for those structures and move them to the proper place. And that has been fallen on deaf ears. Now you're going to allow this person to put a third structure out there directly in front of my property with no buffers. If any of you had this situation in front of your home on your property, you would be definitely against this. This is a complete violation of our property rights, the enjoyment, use, and value of our property. And I hope, Kathy, you are recording this because I'm going to need this audio transcript for later use. I will also point out that the decision for this special use permit, according to Section 89-316-D2-3-B5, the decision is not made at this meeting tonight to whether to grant or deny the special use permit. It is made at the next scheduled meeting by the council. And a final decision needs to be rendered no later than the third meeting after it appears on the agenda. It can be deferred or tabled no more than twice. I would also finally like to point out that the outside storage that has taken place on this property is still not legal in agricultural zoning. If you go to section 8969, table 2.4, accessory uses, outside storage is not permitted in agricultural zoning. I have shown you numerous pictures, and you've probably seen it for yourself, that this is a junkyard, a storage yard, and it has numerous pieces of junk that are stored outside, not covered. which is defined as outside storage, and it's not permitted in this zoning district. I also have a 40-foot permanent ingress, egress, access easement on this property, and is currently being violated by a solar panel and some other junk that's underneath it, that's within that 40-foot. And I would submit to you that any setback is not 40 foot from this property line, but is 40 feet from the end of that permanent ingress, egress, access easement. So you take the 40 foot from my property line, then you have to go an additional 40 feet from that easement. I would like to address a special use analysis, which comes under 89.13.16E. There are 10 criteria. Number 4 is the location and character of the proposed special use consistent with a desirable pattern of development for the locality in general. It says, yes, the structure proposed at the rear of the parcel adjacent to existing accessory structures, which I wouldn't call 300 feet adjacent, and is a minimum of 40 foot from the side and rear property line. And I would submit to you that what I just said is must be 40 foot from the ingress, egress, access easement, not from the property line, because nothing can be put in that ingress, egress, access easement under law. I would also, number 8 criteria, are or will refuse service parking loading be located a screen to protect other properties in the area from such adverse effects as noise, light, glare, or odor? And I would submit to you that this is going to create a visual and noise nuisance to our property since it's directly in front of my property. Number 9, will the hours and manner of operation of the special use have no adverse effect on other properties in the area? They will be operating heavy equipment and trailers at all times, as they do now, day, night, weekends, and this will definitely be a nuisance to my property. And number 10, will the height, location of the buildings or other structures on the property be compatible with locations of other structures on neighboring properties? No, it is being placed directly in front of our home, which, as I said earlier, violates the use, value, and enjoyment of our property. We've lived here for 26 years and have never had a problem until these people moved in, however long it's been, 6 years, 7 years ago. They have no respect for our property rights whatsoever. They have been charged and convicted of criminal trespass for what they've done with our easement, what they tried to do, locking gates off, and they are absolutely violating our property rights. And for CPL to recommend approval of this with absolutely no conditions on it, no buffers, no nothing, saying it's adjacent to these existing properties when it's right directly in front of my house, 300 feet plus from where these other illegal structures are, is a travesty. And Kathy, I'll make a request to you. I'm going to want a certified copy of this audio when it's done. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
And Mayor, if y'all are talking to us, you're on mute.
He's muted.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, but with a bit of an echo.
Okay, sorry, we turned the audio off on the other device. So the request was evaluated against 89218, which is accessory uses to a dwelling, as well as 89-217. In those situations, there's no requirement for a buffer to be installed as part of an accessory structure. So that is why there was no condition related to that applied to it. The staff recommendation was just that it be compliant with the submitted application materials and then modified to be compliant with all other requirements of the Unified Development Code.
So from a being an agricultural permitted or agricultural zoning of the land, is that this is a permitted or this is an approved structure to be there with a special use permit, right?
Yes. So restrictions in all residential districts, there was question as to whether or not this applied to the agricultural district. It is intended for a personal use. During our evaluation, we did not see anything that would suggest it's not a permitted use. And so that's why it was evaluated against those criteria.
What is the 300 foot and 100 foot?
From what I can tell, Mr. Morgan was stating the location of the structure was going to be 300 feet from the existing accessory buildings, if I understand correctly. Based on the application materials, the site plan showed it in proximity to that. It was not a drawn to scale site plan, so the distance could be different than what I estimated it to be.
So is there a requirement that has to be met from that perspective?
It just needs to be meet the setback requirements from the property line for agricultural uses.
Or residential.
It is owned ag.
It's building was residential.
Yeah, so it's a residential use.
Not that way.
Mm-hmm. So looking at the use table, table 2.4 accessory use tables, accessory uses and accessory structures are permitted use in that table. See where that would not be a permitted use. Are there any other questions I can answer for town council?
For attorney with that, is there, regarding the easement use, is there a law about the distance from the easement versus
property? So yeah, I'm sorry, Jack, you can speak to that.
No, I'll let you go first, Sarah.
I was going to say, yes, we would get a recorded plat as part of our permitting process. And if there's an easement represented and documented as part of that to Mr. Morgan's property, it would need to be subject to setbacks from that easement. We just need to see documented proof of the easement.
That's correct.
So it would still have to be the minimum setback requirements from the property line. And if that was less than, like if that would place it in the easement, then the additional easement distance would need to be added. So it could not be in the easement.
So as part of the normal process through the permitting component of it, the plans have to be updated to reflect all of those.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else in attendance to the meeting that would like to speak either for or against the accessory structure?
How much time do I have remaining on my time?
Mr. Morgan's time's expired.
Thank you.
So you're not going to address the illegal use of the structures as they were permitted by the county now and refused to be revoked by the council, is that correct?
Here for this, the audio is working here. I turned off the secondary piece on our side that we're discussing the permitted application here for the accessory structure that's been submitted for the special use permit. And that's the what the discussion is tonight.
And Mayor, at this time, seeing that there is no one additional who is asking to speak, we can leave the public hearing open through the end of the agenda and then close it at the end and ask if there's anybody else who would like to address the council at that time.
Okay, we'll leave that portion open and then we'll come back. We'll move the new business items then around to address the special use permit at the end of the meeting. It's still on the agenda. All right, so with that, we'll shift to new business, or correction, we'll shift to have the council review the January 5th meeting minutes for approval. You guys have any questions on the meeting minutes?
I don't. Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor? Let the record reflect it passed unanimously. Sharon, Eric, Doug, and Sally. Okay. As previously mentioned, we'll move the first item that's on the agenda, the special use permit, to the end. We'll go back and revisit the stormwater options as that proposal was presented by CPL at the last meeting. And understanding of the, if I use all of the acronyms correctly, right? I believe this is the MS4.
Yes.
Discussion. If the council has any additional thoughts, questions, comments on that, we're, you know, going to be up against from a timing perspective. So we can, so two options really at this point is we can authorize CPL to proceed with the plan with one of two plans that was presented. One was significantly more expensive and a lot of unknowns or the quoted value. The other port we could also is seek additional quotes. It's basically an hourly service, and that's what really the difference, anything that you have is estimated time and hourly rates. And the state is going to require it that we are in compliance putting the plan moving forward.
What was the total cost for CPL to? I don't have my notes from the last meeting.
I can speak to that if you would like. So this is Sarah McQuaid speaking. Option one to pursue the MS4 application. We estimated that the initial cost would be approximately $2,000, and that would be submitting the permit application to EPD. And then
that's the year one cost.
That's and then the year one cost. And then there would be an additional cost of approximately $20,000 throughout the course of meeting all of their permitting requirements.
Which is spread out over a five-year, an additional four-year period.
It is, yes. There is a period of time to that. And that is just estimated cost. It doesn't necessarily mean that that would be the final cost. We would be able to provide you with reporting throughout the project. And then the second option would be to pursue their waiver option. That is a lot more unknown, and they require us to do a lot of testing up front to establish that reporting needs are not done. And because of that initial work at the beginning and kind of the unknowns of what the full waiver process would be, that was estimated to be about $35,000.
Council have any questions on the MS4 process?
And what's the deadline that we've got to get moving on?
That is the answer. It was in April.
Yes, there. So the deadline to submit to EPD is at the beginning of April. I believe it was 120 days from receipt of their initial letter from them. So it will take a little bit of time on the front end to complete kind of the initial tasks. But it is in further in the spring.
Is this a five-year commitment from us that we can at least get the initial stuff started?
Initial's done, and yes, there could be options to move forward if there's a different direction.
Yeah, the contract would be subject to normal terms and conditions and, you know, an ability to end the contract at no fault to either.
Well, I'll make a motion that we go with the first option, not the waiver option, since we're under the gun on this.
Second.
All right, all in favor? That passes unanimously. Okay. And next item on the agenda is the local issuing authority proposal. Again, well, Sarah's here.
So this just gives the town a little more oversight over your stormwater erosion and sedimentation control reviews. This is by no means something you have to pursue right now. Applicants for land disturbance permits or disturbing land within 200 feet of state waters have to go to the Georgia Soil Water Conservation Commission and submit their erosion control plans to them for approval and then provide them to the town. As part of the LTP review, it's pretty common for communities to take on that portion on their own. So it's something that you could pursue, but by no means is this a requirement as such as the other one is.
So the local issuing authority gives, let's say if there's wind development is here in the town, the ability for the town through its consultant firms is our current structure to actively manage stormwater complaints, issues, development parts. As it stands right now, that is completely out of the town's control.
What's the cost on that?
That was estimated to be $2,700. So the initial request to EPD and kind of putting together the packets was about $1,700.
Is this per item for stormwater issue?
No. This would be one. If you become a local issuing authority, this would be one time application process to EPD. And then when permits came in, land disturbance permits came in for review, the town could review them through a consultant rather than having them go to the state. But you would not have to do this process each and every time.
And there's a fee that can be charged for that. So it's not there is not a cost to the town after the initial approval.
It would be all handled through your permitting fees.
But aren't they already paying for this now when they go through the Georgia?
Mm-hmm. They are. This just gives the town a little more oversight. But it's not something that you would have to pursue right now if you don't want to.
What are we oversighting?
So right now you just kind of verify that the state has completed the review. They provide you the approval. But if you were the local issuing authority, you would review the erosion and sedimentation control plans. You would issue those approvals, and then you could do compliance inspections and have inspectors who work with your consultants go out to complete it, or it's something that the state does. Their monitoring is probably less responsive, which is, I think, sometimes why communities pursue that.
Are most municipalities our size of local issuing authority?
I think it ranges. So locally, I know Auburn is larger, but they are an LIA. Barrow County, of course, does it. I think it just kind of depends. Usually when you start doing your MS4, because you're required to do reporting, you also do the LIA to have a little more oversight over that. But, we can talk about this further at a different time if you want to just hold off for a little bit.
And think with the change when we get rid of the intergovernmental agreement with the county doing our zoning and planning, mm-hmm. they were doing that. Now it fell back to the state, which is a recent change. So we've gone from county and kind of that local piece to now somewhere in the state if there is an issue regarding that.
Hey, Jack, is there any liability if the council doesn't move forward with CPL on this versus the state?
No, I don't think there's any liability. Basically, what you're doing if you take over the LIA duties is you're issuing the permits now, you're conducting the reviews, and that just gives you a little bit more control over the process. But regardless of whether this happens, the box is still going to need to be checked by developers, and they're going to have to go through the state process and provide the town with proof that they've gone through the state process and gotten the state permits. So no, there's not really a difference in terms of liability the town is taking on, whether they decide to leave it to the state or whether you want to become a local issuing authority yourself. It just, you know, there are some situations in which, you know, you want the issuance of all permits to be within your control. And so that's a reason to do it if you want. But no, there's not additional liability that would come from leaving it to the state.
It really does bring it down into a control piece with developments if something goes on during that time. Of having that more local, per se.
So whose responsibility would that be for us if we took, if we...
We would hire that through the zoning, planning, and inspections. It's the standard, part of the standard services.
So the initial request to the state, $2,700, and then how much per?
It would be part of your the hourly fee structure, which is then kind of balanced out with the permitting fees. When applicant submits for like a land disturbance permit, they're charged a plan review fee, and then they're charged a permit fee. And so those kind of equal out. And so that's
it. So are y'all going to charge the same the state would charge? You're going to charge higher fee?
I do not know what the state fee structure is like.
Are the fees going to be passed on to the developer?
They can be as part of your fee schedule. If you know, you can add to your fee schedule that if the cost of the review exceeds the permitting fee, that it be the responsibility of the applicant, so the town isn't encumbering that debt.
Because you're paying for it now anyway. This one, I just wonder if their fees were going to go up, going from the state to.
I don't know how the state charges with that.
We could do a quick internet search and see if there's.
I mean, we could table this and bring it back up at a different meeting if and I could answer some of these questions and look into that.
Yeah. That sounds, you know, just understanding that
you should come and discuss it again.
Yeah, are there any other questions? From the control perspective, I think it makes a lot of sense for the town to have that over those. Right now, as it stands, the land disturbance permit can be issued and it just happens. It gets issued and we have no knowledge of it within the town. If the property is zoned for it,
they would still have to come through for different things on our end.
On your end at some point, but you've gone a long ways down the.
Yeah, a lot can be done independently,
right.
But issuance from Georgia or the Georgia Soil Water GSWCC should not allow anyone to start land disturbance. They still would need to be permitted through the town, ideally.
True. So future land disturbance we would know about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you got a couple of questions and we can revisit that part.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to discuss on that? Okay. Now we'll move to next item on the agenda is the business license for Strategic Concrete LLC. Are there any questions on the business license?
A couple. That's directly across from this elementary school. Are they going to be running trucks and stuff down there? Or is this just going to be an office?
Right.
Because it's a residential property. I know they got something like 8 acres of I wish a lot of these people that want these business licenses
would explain.
Show up.
Well,
that's what I think we should do.
Be more explanatory.
If you want a business license, you need to show up and let us know what's going on.
We really don't have a ton to go off of with it.
No, we don't.
For this one.
Yeah.
We don't. I mean, I looked up the property, and it is a residential property. It's about 8 acres directly across from the elementary school.
Let's, then, is
the
there,
last house in...
Would you like to, we just move it to the next week's meeting?
Yeah, let's do that.
See if we can get the applicant
table to... Yeah, see if we can get them to come in and talk to us.
Okay. And I think it's worth noting, I mean, that is a good point. It is a property with a residence on it, but the zoning is agricultural. If it's just going to be a home office for the person that runs this construction firm, then that is a use that is permitted by the UDC. But if it goes beyond that and they are having trucks in and out of there, then, you know, that exceeds what's allowed under their zoning classification. That is
I don't think it's zoned agriculture. I think it was zoned commercial or it wasn't commercial or anything of that nature. It was a residential, I believe.
Kathy, you have something?
I was looking it up on the.
You there, Kathy?
Processor.
Yeah. Is my mic working?
It is.
Oh. Yeah, it's a home office.
Okay. No trucks, no traffic.
No.
I mean, with that said, this is a home office. It's two business, it's listed as two.
I think we need to confirm that, absolutely. And I think that we probably would need to put stipulations on it.
Okay.
In other words, point blank, tell them they cannot do this, this, or this for a home office to run their business out of, you know, somebody answering the phone and all that kind of stuff. But
I'd have to speak with our attorney on that, on any conditions about the other parts.
Well, you can't place conditions on the issuance of the business license, but what Councilwoman Johnson referred to as stipulations are in place through the zoning that applies to that parcel. So those protections are already in place, and it's only allowed if it's a home office. So that is to say, you may still want to confirm or hear from the applicant that is really what it's going to be. But if it's a home office, then it's permissible.
Okay.
Let's see if we can come to the next meeting.
Okay. So the council would like to table that until the next meeting. Okay.
Then
we'll work to get the applicant here. All right. Next, we'll move to the SPLOST discussion. So this is for, you know, council to come up with it. SPLOST will be coming up in the near future. And we really need to kind of have the discussion about approach. What is the, you know, the uses of SPLOST funds and having kind of a capital plan together with it. So we can work with Jack on some of this, you know, discussion and where it's at. You know, in general, this SPLOST is really four capital pieces. We don't have fire services and those, so we're not buying fire trucks. We're not building a jail. Those are for other municipalities to do. But sidewalks, parks, town building renovations, road improvements, those are items that could be there. The creation of a water department, you know, planning and creation of a water department or sewer department, land acquisitions, like those are types of things that could be put for our uses for the SPLOST, because the town would have to get together and have a list of items that are there for that.
Would that work on repair of buildings?
If it's in capital in nature, right? It's not just a standard repair and maintenance component, but if you're rehabbing buildings completely, right? The existing SPLOST funds we have, that's what we're looking at like this year.
Historical preservation.
Correct.
Well, the red brick could be historical.
It's not really that old, but the white building
70s,
is.
70s, that's pretty old.
It isn't old.
Oh, that's
my old man. But the white building is.
Yes. It's older than all of us.
So those are parts we do want to think through from a
plan.
Yes, actually get a plan.
Mm-hmm.
With the red building, if we're thinking about using it for a library, like we said, would that not fall under it? be used.
Right. So there's a component like in the library piece that's the state and the town has to do with 20% was what was projected. So would library construction?
That's building a new library.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to, I don't think that applies to rehab. I can ask Kelly McDaniel about that. I think that's a new library.
But you're saying we got to tear that one down? And
I'm not saying anything. I'm just, that's for.
Just about will be.
I'm just saying that's for a new library where the state pays for 80% of it.
Right.
That's different. But that doesn't apply to a. You can't pay employees or anything with it as capital. Because once we pull the library out of this building and it's somewhere else, we have to hire a librarian, you know, because Kathy does all that. Unless we get that.
Tear down this wall.
So, Jack, in this, is it good? We can discuss all of the potential revenue in those parts during this time with that plan, right? With putting the capital plan?
That's correct. The only thing that I advise you to stay away from is an endorsement in your official capacity of whether the SPLOST should pass or not. That is the only thing that the law says you're not allowed to do. And so everybody can express their opinions about that in their individual capacities. Everybody can talk about what kinds of planning you might like to do, well, what kinds of uses you want to make of that money. The only thing you cannot do is say, I'm speaking in my official capacity, and I think the SPLOST should pass. Go vote for the SPLOST or go vote against the SPLOST. So that's my only admonishment to stay away from that. But other than that, you're free to discuss how you would want to use the money and everything like that.
So even the different scenarios on, you know, the population data, the costs and how that works.
Correct. So all that information is fair game.
Yep. So in a hypothetical, if passed, this is what we would, the potential revenue. There's two different scenarios here. In reality, is using 2020 census data versus 2024 census estimates. So the census data is kind of the standard piece that's used for in population splits and those instead of projections. Mm-hmm. You know, with understanding that. In reality, you know, Bethlehem is poised with significant growth from a percentage basis compared to other places. But these are the scenarios that were put into it. And both of them put it at if it's a 5-year without an intergovernmental agreement or a 6-year with intergovernmental agreement. Right. To have the intergovernmental agreement, all of the municipalities within Barrow County have to pass the portion to enter an intergovernmental agreement for that additional year. If all of the municipalities do not, then it goes back that because Winder has greater than 50% of the population of the call it the of the incorporated portions, so the rest of the cities and towns make up less than 50% of the incorporated population, so just Winder and the county can work out with a 5-year non-intergovernmental agreement. That's kind of the scenario piece in it. Either way, the 5-year is roughly a $850,000 to $880,000 projection. The 6-year brings it to about $1.15 and $1.1 million under the two. Those are projection, you know, population projection numbers. So from a capital planning piece, you know, it's over 6 years, $1 million is not a earth-shattering
mm-mm.
amount of money for the town. But it does lend hand to, you know, if we have that plan together of looking at, you know, if it does come into land acquisition for water and sewer, potentially,
mm-hmm.
we have the ability to look at creating those departments in the future. It could also.
Is this a new SPLOST or?
The SPLOST will have to be redone. There's a.
The existing one.
The existing SPLOST will. Ends at the, I believe it's September 30th, 2028 is when that SPLOST goes away.
So it'd just be a continuation?
Correct. These funds, I mean, we're currently receiving SPLOST funds.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How soon do we have to know or give our?
Well, I'll have a better timeline and answer a little bit later this week.
What if we, everybody think about, you know, just dream big, don't put mm-hmm. constraints on it, just. Would Correct. Be cool if we had a water splash pad for the kids or whatever, and come in and let's brainstorm and, you know, put some plans in place.
The initial discussions are we're looking at within the next month, less than a month from now, of having a discussion on when to for the intergovernmental agreement.
As we're to what, 790 right now, people?
Right around 700. I was going to see if I had that time frame laid out on here.
I thought we were 740 already.
Or 780. Yeah.
I think they came up
with a few years ago.
Yeah, I'd like to have this, you know, from just the population of the others. We look at it. I mean, roughly 1.1 million with a 6-year, 850,000 for the 5-year, depending on how that gets approved. And we'll need to, I'll have an update probably tomorrow on timing, and I'll send out, you know, where that's at of what we'd be looking at for needing the council to have a plan. So if we can have, you know, be thinking over the course of this week on items that we'd want looking at from a capital piece and get back together.
Like starting up a police department.
Really?
Building.
Yeah.
First you have to have a building.
We can't spend it on people. It can't be on personnel. Wages, salaries. Why do we need a... Are you joking or are you serious? No. You want a police department? Just a marshal?
Huh?
Just a marshal?
We could take it to let's get all of the ideas together and let's talk through all of those. So that's kind of the update where we're at. So we've had a couple of discussions. We had a meeting here last week and we had one the week before over at with all of the council or with all of the cities. So Eric's been there with me.
I got that paperwork in the car.
Okay. Right. With that, let's move to item number 6 on the agenda. Couldn't get the correct wording or exactly with this and that part. We call it the Bethlehem Gateway project that involves the 21-acre mixed-use development that was rezoned. What's the best way to describe what's needed, yeah. Sarah? And I'll invite Sarah up to speak on that.
So what we're doing here is a concept plan approval. If you'll recall, this property was approved by town council at your August 18th meeting. And as part of that, you approved a zoning exhibit, which was submitted that showed the type of uses, the layout of the structures, and buildings and kind of how that site would be used. In the original concept plan, there was a larger building, or there was a certain building configuration proposed. And since then, since further engineering has been done on the site, the applicant has come back and said, we have some minor changes to the layout of the site for where the multifamily buildings are going to be located. And so as a result, they asked if there could be an administrative approval kind of that change. And as I was looking through your ordinance, I learned the process for this mixed use master planned development specifically. It requires that after the zoning action, but prior to a land disturbance permit, the town council approves a concept plan. So essentially that's, you know, the zoning was approved, they've done this further engineering, and they have a better idea of how the site will be laid out. And so that's what's happened here. That's something that is sometimes an administrative approval, but in this instant, it kind of defaults to the town. And so they've requested the town's kind of consideration of this concept plan. The changes are that there's a change to the orientation and number of the mixed or the multifamily buildings. So in the original plan, there were 5 structures, and in the proposed plan, they've increased it, I believe, to 8. The overall number of units is not increasing. By my calculation, there's actually 1 unit less, when you total up the numbers they've provided. But it's just kind of how the site layout, from my understanding, is rather than doing one larger building, it made sense to kind of split it up into smaller buildings. It provided better site circulation. And so that concept plan is here before you tonight for consideration.
Yeah, and if you look at with that revision, it actually kind of creates, call it a walkway down that road. It shields the parking and it gives better delineation or separation from the multifamily housing, from the shopping, but it allows you kind of create that store and have that storefront, kind of the appearance. I do have the paper copies for council and I'm sharing on the screen for
And just so we have the code reference, this is section 89-466A7 is the concept plan approval.
Oh, I was going to say.
Oh, it's fun to look at.
Absolutely. Compare.
Yeah. Actually, think about.
So are the buildings going to be lower? You said they're going to be a different size, but the same number of units.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, because supposedly one was going to be a four-story. That was the one next to Gift and Thomas. The rest of them were supposed to be three-story from what we were told back then.
So here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Chris, this plan does not have any four-story. It's all three now.
Three.
It's all three now.
So it's lower height.
So they're all.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yep. So that's Kenwood with the.
Oh, the four-story.
Yeah, now the four-story is down to three.
So all of them going down to a three story.
They're all three except the original.
I don't know if I'm allowed to speak, but then also the clubhouse, where we have kind of the little retail looking clubhouse there. We also, that's a one story, and so it just fit better with kind of making the, when we were showing the pictures and kind of that small town feel with the multifamily. This ended up fitting a lot better rather than that big four-story building we're cramming so many units into it.
I don't understand why the reduction of one floor from the four-story to the three-story means three more buildings that are three stories.
So some of these buildings are...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, some of the these buildings aren't, they're not as long, so... The grade does drop on the side, and we realized when we were trying to make those longer buildings work that we were having grade issues and they were having trouble splitting. And then we also had the little leasing and the gym inside of that four story. And so that building was much larger than any of these. And so it alone had a lot more units, the majority of our units in it. And so now we're able to break it out. And really what we wanted to do is line that main road when you enter so that it was more visual there. And so you had that transition to the commercial.
Okay. Yeah. So they went from 40 units to 33 units a building.
That's correct.
All right.
And that was 28, though. 40.
33.
89.
33, right.
30. I think they're all. So from a unit count, it's basically the same. It's a. Okay. Just a more efficient layout. That
that's important to note. We would not be asking for something that increased the density from what was approved. Any modifications would have to be at the level you approved or less than.
Okay. Are they still the small one bedroom or two bedroom? We're not adding.
It's the same unit. Yes, it's the same unit mix, one and two bedrooms.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so from this, the ask for the council is an approval of the concept plan,
which would be the updated plan with the change building layout,
and that doesn't change any of the conditions or anything else that was put.
Is there anything changing over here by Manger Avenue where there's some?
That's not in the plan, and that's not in the property plan.
They're still going to try to connect to the other road, Manger.
if that's drawn on the plan that you're looking at there.
Can you show me?
You mean the outrageous house?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll share. Here.
I mean, so it looks like it is.
It's still there.
Yeah. This
what they're referring to is really just connecting to Manger Avenue over here, which it still has that on the plan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All that. Everything's the same. It literally, we dropped two buildings because we're just trying to make them not so big.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because here he's got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going to Manger.
Okay, I'm on board with that.
Okay.
I make a motion to accept the new changes for the layout.
The concept plan?
Concept plan.
Okay. Is there a second?
No second.
All in favor? All right. We have Sharon, Sally, and Eric passed and
opposed.
Is Doug is opposed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see.
Sorry. Keep doing that.
All right, now we'll move to the first reading of the Home Rule Charter Amendments. Stop sharing and turn over. Thanks.
And I can just speak to that very briefly, Mayor and Council. This is something that we have discussed before, but we're getting the process moving. Essentially, in the charter right now, there are a bunch of different specific fines and fees to be assessed in different situations if you have a municipal court. In order to allow for essentially modern code enforcement through the contract marshal you've brought on, we just recommend changing all those different specific fines and fees into a just essentially allowing what is permitted by the general law of the state, which in a municipal ordinance violation is a misdemeanor with a maximum of $1,000 fine and 60 days in jail. So no, you're not sending anybody to prison or anything like that. But essentially the fines and fees are from about 60 or 70 years ago and are in need of updating. And instead of, you know, to set you up for the future, instead of just updating the fines and fees, we recommend that the charter give us the flexibility to assess whatever fines and fees are permitted by state law. There will be an advertisement that goes out that I'll coordinate with Kathy and at the end of February, either at that work session or at the March meeting, you'll be able to consider whether you actually want to make those changes to the charter through a home rule charter amendment, which is done by ordinance. So no action to take at this time. I just wanted to give y'all a briefing on exactly where we are with that, and that will count as the first reading of the ordinance.
So we'll... the judge decide the amount. If we say misdemeanor up to 1,000, does the judge set the amount then?
Correct. That would just give the judge the discretion to do what's allowed by state law.
Okay.
All right. Are there any other questions on that home rule charter amendment?
Sounds good.
All right. With that, then we'll move to the next item. Is the we have a resume from Ms. Barbara Edwards. Kathy has helped out with this. Kathy, I'd like if you would help to kind of talking with the council with her experience and looking at it. Council members have a resume, but just, you know, your thoughts.
Well, I think she would be good to help with grants because she has experience with that. She's really good with numbers, which I'm not.
She's an accountant.
Yeah, she.
Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah, we look at it from what we discussed. While we didn't do a full, you know, reached out to GMA, you know, and having that with the assistant clerk, we can kind of define it as we want to and what's needed with the town.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking with Kathy, with what Kathy, you know, needs and sees here, this gives us a couple of things. You know, you have a two separate people from a cash perspective here dealing with the town, which is important. We would have the ability with passports to move forward with passports. We are most likely missing, I say without a doubt, grants is an area that's a huge piece. So if somebody that is very experienced and understands grants and the grant writing process, that can be a huge benefit to that. Vacations, sick time, and even extending city hall hours with this position, which we did budget for it. So, you know, I've briefly spoken with her as well, just based on experience and those that, you know, I'd like to look at working out if the council approves.
So how many hours a week?
We could define, the council can define that completely, but Kathy, your thought on that was what, 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day?
Kathy would know better on that one.
Yeah.
What would be the amount that we would give her for those hours?
What's the pay?
An approximate. Did she have any kind of an amount of what she thought she should be paid for?
Are you asking me?
Yes, ma'am.
She probably.
I can't see you.
She would probably not take less than 16.
Okay. I didn't know if you had talked to her about that or not.
So is she willing to get certified as a clerk or city clerk?
Yes, any kind of passport training and all that.
We put money in the budget for certification.
To make sure fees.
No, that would be an employment condition.
Yes.
Yep. And I see that she does have a job, though.
Yes, she's daycare.
Yeah, substitute teacher. Well,
it's at a Montessori school, isn't it?
Yes,
her last school year.
Yeah. Till now.
Yeah. Right.
From an experience and looking at, I think her
she's history definitely got the experience,
which I thought was good.
The bookkeeping is helpful.
Yeah.
Financial accounting, grant management. I mean,
so with the council's approval, I could.
And you're feeling, you said you've interviewed her.
I've talked with her in part.
In person?
Not in person. We've had a remote. And I can bring her in and talk. And
how about we do a second interview with an assistant, someone else
that's fine. Can
interview her with you.
Yep, we can do that. Okay.
Yeah, I usually don't hire somebody up. I just want.
No. I would say to continue the interview process.
Thank you. Well.
No.
You never know.
I liked her community involvement also.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Does she live in, where do
business
you
business management Athens? Consultant.
She lives in Athens?
Yeah, the town's not a problem.
But she works with...
And all of it's UGA, just about.
Doing festivals and stuff like that. So.
And she's...
She sounds good.
Impressive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we'll see where after the next step
goes. And she would report to Kathy, isn't it her assistant?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions on that?
What's the next step?
We'll bring her in for an interview.
Bring her in. Talk to him physically.
I'll see what I can get scheduled tomorrow. I'll get a date.
Hear that? Or
are you available to come in Monday?
Yes, ma'am.
I heard that was what he was asking. So I'll work with you, Doug. Well, I'll suggest.
Good.
Okay.
I got rid of the donkey, so I'm wide open.
You got rid of the donkey?
Did it die?
All right. Hey, let's stay on. Let's we'll go back now to the last. So now we would need to close the public hearing, right?
Yes.
Jack. Okay. Well, we have no additional. Or I'll one more time just asking: is there anybody else in the attendance? Tim, just making sure if you have any comments for or against the special use permit on 898 Harrison Mill. Okay. There's no additional comments, so with that, we'll close the public hearing on the special use permit for 898 Harrison Mill. And I'll turn it over to the council and to any additional questions for Sarah that's here, looking up all of the tables, charts, everything else that's there. That,
and I can kind of speak to some of that now that I've had some time to kind of look through Mr. Morgan's concerns. If you'd like me to kind of go through some of that.
Yes.
He stated that this should be considered outdoor storage as opposed to an accessory use. Table 2.4 identifies outdoor storage as being allowed in commercial or industrial zoning. So that means that it is not applicable to an agricultural property. The table 2.4 also talks about accessory uses to the principal structure of the property. And the it says uses, it doesn't apply, it doesn't specifically say structure, but a customary accessory use would be a storage building or something on the property. So accessory to that use of the property as a residence. As I stated previously, there's no screening requirements for that. Section 89-122 does talk about agricultural separation, but that's either a 200 or 300 foot distance, and that applies specifically when there's an agricultural use of that accessory structure, the keeping of animals, the storage of manure or fertilizer, other types of agricultural uses. So that 89-122 does not apply because this is for personal storage. So then when you look at 89-18, that's the accessory use section, supplemental standards. Those kind of list what uses are permissible. Number 3 is for the storage of tools. Number 15 is the incidental storage of items on the property. So both of those are applicable to this request. And then kind of looking into the procedural questions of 89-13-16, where it talks about your special use procedures. Your public hearings are required to be 30 to 45 days with that public notice, so the posting of the sign and the publishing on the in the paper. The decision section, which is right after that, says that applications for special use shall be considered at the next available meeting. And I think there was a question as to whether or not the decision could be made. This specifically is saying, you know, it gives you your public notice and public hearing advertising requirements. And then it's saying that the application shall be considered after those requirements have been met. It doesn't state that a decision should be made at a subsequent meeting or at a different time. It's just saying when the item has been properly noticed by your ordinance, a decision, you know, it can be considered in the course of normal business and a decision made at that time. So I'm happy to answer any questions that council may have.
What's the height of the building?
I don't have that.
I think it's 15 foot.
And then those are all covered.
Yeah,
by the EDC. The uses are of, yeah, the structure that. Height is list is capped.
Give me a second.
How do you search it so much faster?
I'm just used to scrolling through it.
620 pages.
Yeah, you get kind of used to the layouts. Sorry, I was down in those advertising procedures, so it's further back up.
Outdoor displays, let's see.
There's temporary events. It says it shall not exceed 2 stories in height. So 15 feet would not exceed your traditional 2 stories.
2 stories is what? 16 feet?
Typically 16 to 20, depending on the height of the room. That's under 89-217, relationship to principal use. It says the accessory structure should not exceed 2 stories in height.
Okay. Is Jerry on the call or is it? I mean, you, like Scott said, you got 50 acres and it's right in front of his house, which I think is wrong. But I don't know if there's another option on your property for to relocate it to a different area. I don't understand why.
Well, a couple of different things. First of all, there's the gravel drive that goes up to where the buildings are. This one is a little ways from the other buildings, but it needs the room to turn to get into the building. Plus the fact that, from my understanding, and I put it into the paperwork, Scott used to live there where the solar panels are, and there's septic lines out there. So right around the solar panels, we didn't want to put a building. But as far as it being 50 acres, this is for mainly residential stuff. We don't want it out in the pasture with the cows, and I don't want to have to go through the pasture to get to it and have to try to get a road to it
or state
that we can maintain and keep up and have. So it just is more feasible to put it right there on the gravel road that is there. And it just so happens that's where it is.
Can you move it one way or the other so it's not?
Not a lot.
Well, we have our side requirements on the lots, and you have the easements that have to be adhered to as well.
The one thing that caught my ear was when Scott says that he's never had any problem with that property since until they moved in.
Well,
wait a minute. That property was abandoned for 10 years. Did you ever see what that place looked like? It was, nobody lived there for 10 years.
Well, I think
you can imagine what the
what we're working on here, though, regardless of history there, we've got a permit that's been a special use permit to put this structure in here. That's kind of standalone item, regardless of any past, present, future. This is just the one item that we're looking at here. And we do know that Sharon is not eligible to vote on this, for the record, as a part. She is the applicant, but will not be participating in any vote on this.
Are we voting tonight? Or?
You're still wrong with your interpretation. This is not should be voted on tonight. You're wrong with your interpretation. It says the council.
Thank you, Mr. Morgan, we appreciate the comment. We've been working through with the public hearing has been closed at this time. Yeah. And Jack, if you've got any parts from our legal side about any of the timing, coordination, thoughts, comments on that.
I concur with what you've heard from Ms. McQuaid. Certainly you are free to conduct a vote on this matter this evening.
Just uncomfortable putting it right in front of their house. I wouldn't want one in front of my house. You can't.
As he said, he has shrubs along the property line.
So it's on the other side of the driveway?
Mm-hmm.
Down.
Why can't it be on this driveway up here versus on the... Why can't it be up in this driveway versus down here?
That's the cow pasture.
Oh, it says a driveway right here.
Well, yeah, that's our drive going to our house, but it would be... You're just talking about putting it closer, a little bit closer that way?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be either...
Down or over here.
I mean, it's still going to be there in front. The pasture, you got the dotted line on that, as you can see. That's going to be the fence line. That is the fence line where the goats are.
That's an existing fence or a new...
Yes, that's been there, yes. So all you've got that strip up through there, unless you go into the other pasture or into the cow pasture.
I mean, you looked at an abandoned property for 10 years, but they didn't have a problem with it. That's what I don't understand.
I just don't, I'm going to make a motion not to approve based on the location of the building. Because there's got to be another option.
I will say that I don't have to get the special use permit. From my understanding, I can go for three buildings or four buildings at 500 square foot.
A special use is only required if it is greater than 500 square feet.
Correct. So that's the reason for this.
Yes.
So I'm sorry, repeat.
Let me get your code specifically because I just want to read that.
Because from my understanding, I could go with multiple buildings as long as they weren't over 500 square foot. And I don't have to get a special use permit from anybody or whatever. And I can put three down through there.
That's what I shouldn't have.
There's a motion on the floor.
I'm going to pull up the ordinance and we'll move on.
So it says any metal structure over 500 square feet shall require special use approval. So under 500 square feet could be permitted by right.
Any other questions on that part? So in reality, we're looking at, you know, two options. It's listening to the applicant with Sharon with it, that it's either one structure under a special use, or it can go back and follow the standard process of multiple structures, the same square footage, just multiple structures that meet all of the other requirements. With that, though, is a motion to deny the permit. Is there a second on the to take a vote on denying the permit, or?
I'll second.
To deny. It's all in favor of denying the special use permit.
Is there any further discussion?
It made the motion on it. So we have two, Sally and Doug voting no, and in favor of approving the permit is one with Eric. Okay, so this time the special use permit is not approved from that. So I know, yeah.
As the applicant, can I make a comment?
We're not at this time. I think we've already gone through.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay. All right.
You want to move on?
So that was the last item on the agenda. Was this part? Right, we voted on it. Once we vote on, you know, any of the items and do that, we've
it's a work session. It's a work session.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
So we can discuss.
It's no, this was all here in the timing. This got
you just voted.
Yes, I know. I just voted, but it's still this is.
Is there a motion to add an additional item for discussion on the special on the permit to add that to the agenda for further discussion?
The public hearing.
The public hearing's been closed. The vote's done. We're done with everything on the agenda.
Okay. A motion for discussion on the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? We'll amend the agenda to add discussion on the land use for done.
And all I've got to say though, as far as discussion goes, is it's what you're permitting is to be able to have more than 500 square foot. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't have a whole lot to do with where. But like I told you all a while ago, it could be moved a little bit this way or that. But we really don't want to put it into one of the other pastures and have to deal with road. That would not be feasible. It would cost a lot more money. Three buildings or four buildings, three at 500 foot would be getting close to what the other building was. I know that it was brought up that there would be noise and that would be running all night, this, that, and another. And it is now, was the comment. But I will say that I don't know who's been running any equipment out there late at night. So as far as the application goes, there should be no problem with anything pertaining to the building. And as far as getting in and out of it or doing whatever, as far as any kind of things that is sitting out there right now, yes, we need a building to put some stuff in because we just had to move a lot of stuff from another building that was a huge building, and we've got to have a place to put it. That's where we stand. So it's either we've got to put up three or four buildings out there, or we've got to put up one. And we don't have a lot of choice on that. We've got to have the building. As far as use goes, I mean, Jerry's got a bunch of equipment that has to do with building, and he wants to get back into doing woodworking and stuff. But we've got to have a place to set all the stuff up to come from the other building. So it's stuff that he wants to use, but as a residential type place. In other words, it's not to go and make stuff and sell it on the side of the road or whatever. It's just so he has a place for all his stuff. And it gets put up.
Go ahead.
And I was just saying, it gets all this stuff. A place to be put.
I mean, I appreciate your investment and what you're trying to do, but if you move the building 100 foot to the left or 100 feet to the right, what would cause the project to be a lot more expensive to build? I mean, because
that's what I said. It could be moved some. It just can't be. The picture as you saw, it needs to stay on that drive so that we can get to it from the drive.
Yeah, I didn't know if it could be closer to the other drive and further down.
It's really where the building is. It's not going to be a whole lot of difference from on one side than the other side. But, you know, as far as from the drive, whichever drive.
Yeah. Now, if you want to come back to it with a different presentation, that's what I would recommend, but.
If we need to do that tonight, I mean, just say where.
The process isn't fast. It's a full resubmit application posting. There's the time that has to go by. Unless it's a non special use permit piece.
And then that could just be permitted by right.
So, you know, that's up to you all. Picture, I think I've caught it. You had it on your phone. But, you know, as far as where it is, also being there on that road, it's going to be easier to get all the stuff that, you know, we're trying to put into it in it.
That's only a one-time occurrence, right?
That part would be. Yeah. I mean, it could be moved a little bit this way, but again, you've got, you know, your septic and septic
tank lines through there.
So we had it on his phone.
The septic tank's where now?
I don't know exactly. I guess, you know. But it would have been somewhere around those solar panels. It'd have to have been, I would think, somewhere through here, because this building, all this was a building for all that slab is at one time. And as far as size of buildings, I mean, there's a like property, like a triangle. Let's see.
That one?
Mm-hmm.
Doing just the green The triangle?
Yeah. Yeah. So you got this triangle, but like right here is another building that is, I don't know the exact size, can't tell, but about the size of what we're talking about. Might be even taller in height.
I get, but not in, right in front of their.
No, I'm just saying
right.
Other large buildings.
I'm good with size. It's just not in front.
What's wrong with this area right here? I know it's inside the pasture, but you could fence it for this area over here.
In the cow?
Yeah.
Pasture? Well, this whole area here, this is flat.
Wow.
This right here, you can go over there and look. You got terraces all the way down, all the way across. So that whole pasture's terraced. And then when you get closer here, it's like a real downhill drag. So this is the flattest right in here. Even this one is a downhill drag. But this is flat, got the drive, it's already got the buildings.
I think it sounds like you're open to it. I mean, if somebody wanted to go out and walk it with you and look at the land and understand what you're trying to do, to look at the options. But in order for a special use, now we have to reopen, you know, go through the full process.
You're saying we have to now?
To go back for a special use, you'd have to start over, basically redo.
Unless it changes tonight.
Jack, is there any?
Well, I'll say this. I mean, generally, yes, it's going to, if there's a new application, it's going to have to go through the same notice requirements as the first time. The only way that the matter from tonight could be revisited is if somebody makes a motion to reconsider. In order to make a motion to reconsider, you have to be one of the people who voted to deny. Who essentially were on the winning side of the vote to deny the permit. So if one of the council members that voted to deny the permit wanted to make a motion to reconsider, that is allowed. And it could be made at the next meeting as well. But that is the only way that this matter could be reopened, is through a motion to reconsider made by somebody who was on the winning side of the vote.
Got it. So it could be tonight or it could be at next Monday's meeting.
Correct.
Is there any further comment, questions tonight?
Well, these two could go over there and look at her property.
We've got a meeting
right now in the cold.
We've got a week.
1 a.m. in the morning, I'll meet you.
The light of the moon.
Yeah. All right. Well, that said, we'll close up. That's the last item we had on the agenda that was ended. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Okay.
Second. In favor? All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Was this for us?
Oh, yeah.